This is Health Frontiers, and I'm Lexi Ross. Tonight we'll continue our discussion on miasms with our guests Calvin and Helen Young. Calvin is the inventor of the Vocal machine that eliminates emotional traumas and miasms, and Helen is his assistant. Good evening, guys. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really good. Helen's not going to be with us right now.
Oh, she's not. Oh, I wish you'd mentioned that earlier. Sorry.
That's okay.
Calvin.
Yes.
Why did you decide originally to invent the Vocal machine?
Well, what I started to do was I realized that my life was repeating itself over and over and over again. And I wanted to come out with a way to be able to change that. And that was the beginning thought patterns of how to get to do this.
I see. Well, how does it work exactly?
Well, we're using sound vibrations, we're using light frequency, and we're using magnetic fields, all in synergy, working together. And we use a voice print of the person that we're working on to determine what's going on with the brain synapses.
How did you arrive at the idea of analyzing the voice to determine the emotional state?
That was kind of the interesting part. I have heard of some of the work that Sherry Edwards had done, and that just kind of fascinated me that she was able to get information out of the voice to determine things with health. And with that, I thought that was really interesting. So I went and visited a guy in the local town that I was at that time that had some equipment to do that type of work. And I went and visited him, and he did me a demonstration on how he could take a voice analysis. And in that voice analysis, he was able to record different things and how chemicals and different things were tied up in the body.
Hmm. Well, how did you, I know that you use a color wheel to determine different emotional states. How did you determine that the 12 tones were analogous to the chakras?
Well, what I started doing is just, this all kind of come together piece by piece. And what I started doing was, as I was taking voice prints, I started noticing some consistencies with the voice prints when I got them in the magnetic field effect and when I got them in the light glasses. Now, before that, one of the things that I noticed is that I saw the voice prints, but I didn't see really any consistency. And once I got them into the magnetic field effect, when they had them talk about their mother, the same voice print seemed to come up. Now, the color wheels, like you were saying, deal with the emotions. And that took years and years of sitting there working with people and noticing that when certain emotions existed, they were always within these certain frequency ranges. And when we wrote the software, we divided it up into 12 segments, which I thought was interesting. And the 12 segments, or the 12 zones that you're talking about, have emotional patterns within those.
Well, how did you, when you decided that, maybe we should talk about miasms a minute too, to kind of educate the audience that didn't hear the show last week. What exactly is a miasm?
A miasm is a predisposition of a condition. So the medical association knows that if grandpa had diabetes, it would miss the sun and go to the grandson. And that's what they're starting to notice. It's a condition set up in the genetics of the DNA.
But those conditions exist also in the emotional body, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So how did you, so when you put somebody in this machine, the other question I wanted to ask you was, how did you determine, or what determines, I experienced the machine myself for the listening audience, so I sort of have an idea of what, you know, happens when you get on the machine. But I also want to say, if anybody has any questions, they can dial in at 888-268-4313 to ask Calvin any questions about this Vocal machine. What happens when, I think you need to describe the sequence of events. Like, what happens from the first, when somebody comes into you and they have an emotional trauma, you might want to give some examples of what kind of emotional trauma that you're treating and what the procedure is, because that kind of helps educate the audience.
All right. What we generally do is we call it a mapping. We take several voice prints and determine what's going on within the emotional status. of what they're talking about. Now, what I have to do is I have to put them in the chair at least
once.
Wait
a minute. When you say voice prints, what does that mean?
That means to be able to have take a print or have them talk in a microphone for about 10 seconds about mother, father, an emotional pain that they're going through.
Okay. So any kind of divorce situation, loss of a child, anything that causes an emotional trauma would be printed in the, you would have a voice print for that?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
And at the same time, they don't even have to know the condition. Sometimes they can just talk about the feeling.
I see.
Feeling things a certain way. I have this feeling in my chest that doesn't want to go away. And we can actually get the emotional pattern out of that from just having them talk about their feelings.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay, go ahead from there. What happens after you get the voice print?
Well, what we do is when we take a mapping, we try to get the information up front. We have them talk about their mother, their father, spouse or ex-spouses, grandparents, and then we have them talk about the emotional trauma. And then we try to find, or even a health condition, and we try to find the miasm that ties to grandparents or spouses or mother and father by a voice map match. And if the matching is high enough in the numbers and percentage, the condition does exist.
What kind of, give us an example of what kind of miasm that might come through, down through grandparents.
It's been kind of interesting. It's like, let's say that your grandmother was a little bit on the ornery side, okay? And we're just going to be really very casual on what we're talking about here. And you find yourself just having a hard time becoming happy. Well, what we can find out, if both matches are high enough, you'll end up taking more characteristic traits from your grandparents than you ever will from your mother and father.
Wow.
So you'll pick up these traits of just being ornery or being unhappy or whatever traits there might be. For an example, an individual came to us that had bronchitis, and we did the mapping on the parents and the grandparents, and we had him talk about the bronchitis. The bronchitis matched his grandfather that he didn't even know, which a lot of people say, well, I don't even know that grandparent, but we can get him to talk enough about him to get the information that we need out of the voice. Well, he came back to the office several weeks later, and he went and did some genealogy and found out that his grandfather that he tied to had died of emphysema. So he had a weakness in the lungs. Now he has that miasm condition, which we talk about, now in the lungs, and now he's got bronchitis. Don't mean they'll have the same disease, but what it does mean is that they have a weakness in that area.
I see. Well, from the voice mapping, and then what happens after that?
After we do a voice mapping and we get the general information, then what we basically do is we'll if it's a serious condition or a serious emotion. We've had people come into our clinic where people have come in suicidal, and we have them talk about the feelings. So if somebody is not in a very good place, we'll go right to the feelings and try to find out where that problem's going on, and get them stable, because if we can have them talk about the feelings and they have no idea where the feelings lie, they just know the anxiety, we can take them to the place where they can figure out where these miasms exist. Or where did the emotional trauma exist?
I see. Well, but I mean, from the voice mapping, then what happens after the voice is mapped?
After we get the voice mapping and all the information is taken at that, we go into what we call a progression. And that's where we go into the chair and we go through a 10-minute round. And then you come back out and you talk about what you experienced in the chair that time. And we keep pushing you back into the chair until we can get the voice analysis and when these patterns to start to clear within the voice prints. And it usually takes about anywhere between 5 to 7 times in and out of the chair to get the information and clear a person with the emotional trauma.
Okay, so now when the person sits in the chair, he's got glasses on, right?
There's several components with the device.
Yeah, you want to describe what each of those components are?
Yeah, we have a hardwood chair, and on this hardwood chair is transducers. Now, a transducer is similar to a speaker. A speaker moves air mass. A transducer moves mass.
Okay.
So you really don't hear the sound, but you feel the vibration. And you're sitting in this chair, and we feed back certain frequency vibrations that stimulate the meridians of the body. The next component of the chair is the magnetic field. We have between a 2.5 and 3 field, Gauss field. There's some magnetic fields in a wood floor pad that you put your feet on and the chair is sitting on. And then the other magnet is in the headset above your head. And that creates an energy vortex that energizes the body. And then we have music, and we play different types of music, and you have a set of headphones on, and then we have some light glasses. Now, these light glasses flash a true light white bulb, and you keep your eyes closed, and you see all these light patterns, which you've experienced for yourself.
Well, when you put the glasses on, is there a specific, I mean, the mapping that you do in the computer, does that determine the kinds of light that goes into your brain? I mean, are there different frequencies that are going into your brain when you put those glasses on?
No, those light glasses are set up for just a frequency that runs at a very random rate. And what we try to do is we try to keep the conscious mind busy, but we also want to calm the body down. The light colors that you saw with your eyes, they're set up by the emotions that are lying within the brain synapses.
So the same light goes into every person?
Everybody gets the same light and the same frequency, but everybody sees different patterns. Nobody sees the same pattern.
That is very interesting. I assumed that the frequency vibrations or frequencies would change every time you come out of the chair. I mean, like, if you take a 10-minute session and then you go back and
right.
You record your voice again, I assume that the frequencies would change after each voice recording.
But sometimes what we call with an individual, that what we call being stuck, the frequencies don't change. They are the same with the voice print as they came out, and they talk, and then they go back in, and they come back out and talk again. We'll see the same voice prints and the same patterns come out over and again, and that's what we call a stuck pattern.
No, I think I'm asking a different question, but that was a good answer.
Okay.
I think what I was saying was that does the computer change the frequency according to the voice?
Yes, it changes the frequencies that's played into the transducer. So if you come back out of the chair and we take another voice print, and in that voice print, your voice print has changed, then the computer sets up different frequencies to counteract the excess energy that's coming out of the voice.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is different every time. I mean,
yes.
Unless you're stuck.
Yes.
Okay. We know that sound, obviously, it's been pretty much proven that sound changes behavior. When you put the earphones on, is there specific songs or tunes or whatever you want to call it, music that you put into the machine to alter the person's thinking, or, you know, does that determine anything, the kind of music that goes
right.
on?
We try to find a music that has the capabilities of being able to let people go into different emotional states. And that became very difficult because some musics make people go to sleep. Some types of music calms people way down. And then you can put in hard rock, and that has a tendency to make people very agitated. So it took us some time to find the right type of music to where people could go into different emotional states. We've had some people that said with certain types of music, well, I just am just so relaxed because of the type of music. So the type of music that's being played is also very important. Yeah.
So you select the music that goes into the machine?
Yes, when the device goes out, we send a CD out that we've time-proven over and over that's worked very well.
I see. You made a comment when we talked earlier about the fact that cell production changes after 40 and that people tend to regress back to the thoughts of their ancestors after they're 40 years old because they're not generating new cells anymore. Can you elaborate on that for me?
Well, it's a process like when you go over the age of 40 or you go over the hill where you start to age, which is an aging process, the next cell that's being produced is not the exact duplicate. Matter of fact, it's less than. Well, what happens is the brain is, if you have emotional problems in your life and you also have a miasm from a grandparent that's come across in your life, these plasma proteins start being dumped or peptides start getting dumped in the body. And then when this next cell's being reproduced, it's not the same as before. So it has its degenerating properties that come from these peptides.
So it's kind of like a wounded cell, would you say?
Yeah, it actually is. It's a cell that has been damaged by not healthy plasma protein.
How fascinating. Wow. So, in other words, as you're aging, you would have a tendency, say, to get more depressed or to maybe revert back to some behavior patterns that you saw in your own family or...
Right.
Okay, so that would explain a lot why elderly people get depressed.
Absolutely.
That's very interesting.
Yes, it is really interesting to watch, and it seems to happen very dynamically between the age of 45 through 55. That's where a lot of the people really go through. The European doctors have now discovered that cancer is usually an emotional condition that's happened 3 years prior to the cancer being diagnosed. Sorry, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying. That makes perfect sense to me because,
yes.
You know, at the Gerson Clinic, they put people into therapy. You know, if a woman comes in with cancer, they tell her that she has to bring her husband in, and if there's some kind of emotional, if they're angry at each other or some kind of a problem that goes on between the couple, they want to deal with it because they say the emotions determine cancer,
right?
Specifically anger. What happens? So that's what we're saying. That kind of explains what midlife crisis is about then, huh? We had talked about midlife crisis. Would you call that cell degeneration kind of thing sort of our midlife crisis?
Not really. It's after the midlife. Midlife crises are kind of an interesting situation. They're actually an emotion that comes up, and the subconscious has got tired of dealing with it. And we find a lot of people that in their between 30s and 40s, if they've had a real severe trauma in their life, it has a tendency to want to rise. And if it does, that's some of the behavior pattern changes, but so
that's separate and apart from the cell degeneration process.
Right.
Okay. All right. You made a comment about the subconscious mind telling the truth. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. One of the interesting things that we found as we were taking voice prints in the beginning is there was really very little consistency within the voice print. In other words, if I talked about my mom and then I talked about my mom again, we didn't see a consistency within the pattern. And so what we ended up doing by putting people in the magnetic field and using the light glasses and then bringing them back out, then when we had them talk to the mother, we'd get the same voice print. When they talked about their mother again, we'd get the same voice print. Now, what was really interesting is one time I put this to the test, and I've done this many times since, is I've had somebody totally lie. I've said, okay, now tell me the truth about yourself, and they will, and we'll get the voice print out of it, and then we'll say, okay, I want you to tell me a total lie. Tell me your name is something else. Tell me you do a different job, whatever. And what's been real interesting is the same voice print comes back up, because as soon as they say my name is, we activated that part of the brain, and the information comes out. That's why during the mapping operation that we go through, it's very critical to make sure that the people only talk about their mother and don't bring other people into the voice patterns, like my mother was married to my dad. Well, we can't have them do that. They have to talk about their mom and stay very focused on their mom.
So you can't really lie.
It's been kind of interesting to see that you can't really lie. My scientific friend put it to the test. He was working on his mother and was having some problems and was being in what we call a stuck pattern. He wasn't moving out of it too easily. And he just jumped up and said, my mom works for NASA. She flies the space shuttle daily. She went to the moon yesterday, you know. And thinking that it was going to change, and there was the same print again, and he just looked at me and he says, my gosh, this is unbelievable that the same voice pattern would come back out. And I says, well, that's because we've activated that part of the brain and the information is being fed through us through the synapses of the brain, and we can actually see what is locked into place and what isn't.
That's amazing, isn't it? That the voice could reveal so much about our subconscious mind.
Yeah, and to get all this information out of the voice is absolutely phenomenal, too.
Yeah, real. That is fascinating. You also made a comment that when you say I do in marriage, it locks in the energy patterns of all the ancestors. I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah, what we're finding out is that the word is a very powerful tool. I've learned to be a little more cautious of what I try to say and how I speak. But it's really kind of fun, because what's fun is if you go back to a lot of people and you say, well, what was your husband like before you married him? And she's, oh, they're really nice and da-da-da. And I says, then after you say the words, I do, then you lock these energy patterns together verbally. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, you married somebody you didn't even think you married, you know. And that's what we're seeing, is we're watching that through these voice prints that you have a tendency to attract somebody very similar to you in a lot of ways. And what I've always said is we've always attracted somebody to us to help us heal, but somebody forgot to give us the owner's manual to get us through the change.
So when you say that you're kind of saying that we tend to attract people who have had the same emotional pains that we have. Is that
yeah, very
saying?
Much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You also talked about when clearing up these emotional miasms that you have to clear up the emotional condition, and I was a little cloudy about that. I wasn't exactly sure what you meant by that.
Okay. Let's go back to the individual that had the bronchitis. Okay, the miasm was the condition from his grandfather, okay? Uh-huh. So once we cleared up his grandfather's pattern, and then we had to go back and clear up the emotional pattern that dealt with the bronchitis, okay?
I don't understand how that would be separate.
It really is, because the miasm is a condition, but the emotions that, like, say, he had no idea that his grandfather died of emphysema, so he had this inherent weakness. You've got to unlock the inherent weakness before you can unlock the emotional to get him to start to change in their healing process. So this individual that I'm talking about, we had a rough time unlocking the emotions of the bronchitis, and I was unable to do it. And I had his wife come back, and I says, maybe you can help me out. I said, when in his life did you notice a big change? And he said, and she said, well, that was real easy. He was an older sergeant in the Army and served two tours in Vietnam, and when he came back, he was never the same. And I go, that's probably the answer. So when I brought him back in, and I was unable to unlock the emotional pattern, I had him talk about Vietnam, and when he talked about Vietnam, it matched the bronchitis.
Oh,
so the
my
bronchitis
God.
Matched the miasm, so we had to unlock Vietnam, and then once we unlocked the emotions from Vietnam, then we were able to talk the emotional patterns from the bronchitis, and then the guy went on and did very well after that.
That is amazing.
It is.
That is an amazing story. Wow. Well, you even said something about the fact that miasms or emotional blocks actually create fat in the body, and you mentioned one of your clients. Would you tell us about that?
Well, what we've found out is that there's certain energy patterns. When we have people talk about their terminal four cancers and different things like that, we always see the energies in the same certain areas. One of the things we've also noticed is that when people have a tendency to be obese in weight, there's a certain energy level that exists within the voice print. And when that's existing, it's an energy of resentment. We just labeled it that, but people resent life. There's judgment. They resent everything they're doing. And if this energy persists, so does the body weight. And we've been able to go in and unlock the emotions behind that. And then people have just started losing weight. And they lose weight quickly.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, isn't that kind of strange?
It's amazing. If miasms are stored in the blood cells, does that mean that the blood chemistry actually changes when people go through one of these major breakthroughs?
Oh, absolutely. My wife Helen was working on an individual that was dealing with chronic pain. And this individual, when we got to the source of the problem and unlocked it, the person got up out of the device and was no longer in pain and has not been in pain ever since.
Wow.
And so the body chemistry can change within a blink of an eye. And so whatever that chemical or the emotion was that was tying and created the chronic pain for, once we unlocked the emotion and she released it, the pain went away immediately.
Wow. Does the machine improve IQ? I'm curious.
I don't know if it increases IQ. It seems to increase an awareness. As we go through these emotions, you know, a lot of these belief systems and stuff and structures have been happening to us when we've been young people, and we get to the point that we go back and we get to look at things in a different way, and that seems to have a tendency to enlighten us. These belief systems were set up when we were children or young adults, and as an older adult, as we get to the emotions and feelings, we get to really analyze them differently. And I call it recategorizing. You refile the information in a different part of the brain, and you also neutralize the energy. It's like when you talk about something or you trigger, the word trigger, if you get triggered into an emotion and you don't know where it lies, those are the type of things that create the problems in our life, because they just keep reoccurring, these things, over and over and over again.
I've noticed in several people that I've been around that have Alzheimer's, that they tend to fall back on experiences that they were very angry about. I have one friend who, she just nags her husband all the time about issues that, you know, that he didn't do, or he didn't listen to her, or, you know, and that's all she does all day long. She just batters her husband all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember you said something about, well, I feel like that's a kind of miasm for her, in that people with Alzheimer's seem to get stuck in their emotions.
We've worked with quite a few of them. And
is that right?
Really phenomenal results with what we've been noticing. We know that it's fear and suppressed anger. They internalize it to the point that their brain just starts running at high speeds. And at this high speed, it seems like they disconnect. In other words, the reason they can't speak is because their brain processors are going way faster than their speech processors.
Hmm.
And we've watched several people that's got in the device, and within a couple of sessions within the device, all of a sudden they're slowing down, they're speaking. We've had some people that couldn't even speak their first name very well, and within a couple times in and out of the chair, were able to talk in full sentences. But what we noticed was a horrendous amount of rage and anger come out within those few sessions within and out of the chair.
Wow. So you encourage people to, like, vent their emotions, you know, holler, yell. I mean, it sounds almost like a primal therapy kind of thing.
Well, we don't really promote that type of thing. What happens is just naturally happens. We've had people that have become very angry and just cry at the top of their lungs and yell and scream, but some of these emotional traumas that they've gone through are just extremely, extremely harmful and extremely sad. I mean, we've actually even had the condition where we've watched handprints show up on people's faces on their necks where people have grabbed them, and it's been phenomenal to see that type of thing happen, that the skin would show a response of the emotion that had occurred.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. Well, in your own, I mean, can you share some of the things that you've learned? I mean, when you started experimenting with yourself on the machine and some of the issues that came up for you that you were dealing with in your own relationships. Can you talk about some of that?
Oh, sure. What was real interesting about the device in the beginning, once we got it up and running, is the first person I started working on was myself.
Uh-huh.
And what was real interesting was over a period of a couple days, I was able to get myself into what I call a balanced pattern. And that's having voice frequencies all the way around and being able to maintain them. What was real interesting, I could only could retain them for about 3 to 4 days, and then I would go back to my original old pattern. And I thought that was really unfair, because when I went from that old pattern to the new pattern, it was almost euphoric in nature. It just felt so peaceful and so calming. And so I would try it again. I would go back in and work on it and get it back into balance again and feeling the euphoric effect and feeling at peace and harmony, and it would last again another 4 or 5 days. And it would go right back to the old way we were, and that really puzzled me in the beginning, because the thing was, if we could change it, why were we going back? You know, why couldn't we stay?
Uh-huh.
And at that time, we decided to start working on some emotional conditions we started with our mother first. And so we worked on repatterning, what we call repatterning or remapping, and started to do the progression charts, and we started getting ourselves cleared with our mother. And then when we went back to our self-pattern had moved. Now, it didn't turn into a beautiful rose and a beautiful pattern yet, but it did move. And so we started thinking, that starts to make sense, because if we really are a product of our mothers and fathers and our grandparents, then that's where these patterns are being stuck, and what we're talking about, these miasms. You know, you can get a miasm from a mother, and you also can get them from fathers and spouses. But the real serious miasms seem to be tied in with the grandparents. So what we did is we continued working on different people.
How did you find that? I mean, how did you realize that? That was really interesting.
It was just watching and seeing and just paying attention to what we were going through. So we worked on our mother and worked on our father, and then we started noticing that some real interesting occurrences were happening within our family group. I was down in southern Utah working on this project, and I moved went up here to Utah County's Provo area, and I talked with my mother, and my mother wasn't responding to me the same way. And I looked at her, and I go, okay, is my mother in there? You know, but what was real interesting was it was so noticeable that 2 weeks later, she talked to me and she says, what has happened with us? Our relationship has changed. And so I told her what I was working on and what I was doing. And she thought that was kind of interesting, that doing that would change the relationship between me and my mother. But what was more interesting was my girlfriend at that time. When I started repatterning with my mother, I noticed that when I talked about, did this mapping where I talked about an ex-spouse and talked about girlfriends, I noticed that they were very similar to my mother's pattern. So I was reattracting somebody like my mother, like I was doing the first time. So what was real interesting was as I was clearing my mother's pattern up, my girlfriend called me on the phone and said, hello, is Calvin there? And I said, this is me. And she says, your voice don't sound the same. And I said, well, I've been working in the chair. And she said, well, this is interesting. So she called me later that week and says, I need to talk to you. And I says, okay, let's talk. Well, she came over to the house and she sat down there and she looked at me and she says, "You're a really nice guy, but I don't feel the same way about you." And I went, wow. That means that if I've been clearing up these patterns and she's not feeling the same way about me, then my patterns must be shifting. And so we just started paying attention of all these little things that were going on and around me and stuff, and we started noticing all these dynamics were starting to happen.
So let me stop you for a minute. So in other words, once you change the interior subconscious vibration that goes out to people, that not only are you changing, but their reaction to you changes.
Absolutely.
That is really amazing.
It is. And that's the dynamics that we start to see. Now, in the religion form, Matt, they talk about it, and I kind of think this falls into that world. They say the sins of the father that are handed to the children's children's children. And that's the genetics that we're talking about. Those are those miasms or those preset dispositions that are set into place. You know, I've got a real fun story if I can tell it.
Oh, please do. We have time.
Talk about a miasm. An individual had a health problem, and he did the mapping, and it tied to his grandfather. Well, what it was is he had water on the testicle, and he went back and we did the mapping. When he talked about the problem, it tied to his grandfather, and he said, "I don't even know that grandfather." And I says, "Well, if you can find anything about it, it'd be real interesting." So this was what was interesting. He did do some genealogy, and he found out that that grandfather was working in the coal mines. And then one of the big airlines broke loose and hit the grandfather between the legs. And his grandfather had problems with his testicles after that. So now the son didn't get it, but the grandson now has the same
That's
problem.
That's amazing.
So those are those predispositions that are set into motion.
That is amazing.
It is. It's almost unbelievable.
I mean, mapping, you use the word mapping. Mapping is the perfect description of that. You know, that you have this map of disease potentials.
Yeah, you know? And the emotional state
and the emotional.
That goes along with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if the emotional status is there, the health condition is going to be right along with it.
Wow. Well, can you give us some other examples, like of things that I remember you mentioning about the man whose grandfather had the Alzheimer's and he went into the chair and he couldn't speak.
Yes, and when we put him in the chair, put the glasses on, and when those frequencies hit him, he was coming out just swinging arms and saying all kinds of words. It was just, I thought he was going to club us all.
Really?
No, yeah, but see, that's what we find in these Alzheimer's is the suppressed anger. They literally do, and it's an energy that we can actually read, and when they get into these areas, they really are. We see this quite often, and so the emotional condition of the body is really important. And this is where a lot of people, you know, where I come to a belief is that you need to be able to have any form of emotion at any time. In other words, you can be angry, you can be happy, and you should be going through all different of emotions throughout the day. You shouldn't just be melancholy, or you shouldn't just be over happy. A lot of people are excessively happy. They're masking an emotion. They're trying to overcome a sad feeling. But as you can have different feelings throughout the day and don't stay stuck in any one emotion, that's the key. Do not stay stuck. If you get triggered into an emotion and that trigger holds you for 5 to 6 or 7 minutes or maybe 2 or 3 days, there's an emotional patterning there that will cause you health problems in the future.
I want to give the phone number in case anybody has any questions. That number is 888-268-4313. I'd love to hear some more examples, and I think we need to talk about the protocol that you usually follow. I mean, like, do you start with the parents, mother, father first, grandparents? I mean, what have you discovered is the best protocol for any, you know, for the
treatment? When we do the mapping, we always start, it seems to be that we start with mother and father first, and whatever the voice print has the lowest percentage with mother and father. And then we begin with that person, and it's like there's layers of these onions. It's like peeling an onion. If you go too fast and too deep of layers, it won't work really well. So what we found out is these protocols, the sequences of working on mother and then working on the dad, working on the spouse or ex-spouse, and then moving into the grandparents. What was really interesting, one time we had this lady that she was doing the full series, and it was time for her to work on her grandmother. And she had cleared up her mother and her father's pattern and cleared up her spouse pattern. And she gets in the chair, and she's sitting there working on this grandmother. And all of a sudden, she comes out of the chair, and she goes, "I can't think of my grandmother." She says, "All I can think about is my ex-spouse." And we said, "Ex-spouse? You didn't say anything about an ex-spouse." "Oh, I didn't think it mattered, da, da, da." And I says, "Oh, yeah, it matters." And that's how we started realizing that these layers have to be opened at a certain time. So we went back and worked on her ex-spouse, and it was phenomenal. And then we moved into the grandparents, and then the lady did very, very well. And her spouse did the same thing. We've had phenomenal results with marriages. You know, I'm sitting here talking about triggers, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, in the marriage world, we know it as buttons, you know. They know how to push your buttons. Well, these energy patterns do know how to interact with the buttons or the triggers. When you get in the device and both spouses start working, it's been phenomenal to watch. We have saved so many marriages. It's just been just a treat and a joy to watch this. And I had one lady, when she got done with all the sessions, she walked up to me and she says, "Calvin," she said, "thank you." And I says, "Okay, well, you're welcome." She says, "I want to tell you something." She says, "Me and my husband went up in the wilderness and we spent 7 days together." I said, "Well, that's cool." She grabs me by the shirt and she shakes me a little bit and she says, "No, you don't understand." And I says, "Well, then enlighten me." She says, "We could not spend 7 minutes together, let alone 7 days together alone." She says, "But we had a phenomenal time, and we just had all the love and the experience." She says, "We don't trigger anymore." She says, "I feel like now that our marriage has got a chance to survive." And we've had many other people that's come back and said exactly the same type of thing, that their marriages were on the rocks, and we've watched marriages turn right around.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
How many people have you processed now through the vocal machine,
gosh,
would you say?
You know, I need to go down to the file cabinet one of these days and just go through all the old ones. But, oh, gosh, we've got to be in the 5,000 to 10,000 range.
Oh, really? That many? I didn't realize you had done that many. Now, how many?
We there for years. We started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and most of the time finished at about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. That was 4 to 5 people a day, and did that for almost over 2 years.
Do you find that when one member of the marriage comes in for processing, that the husband or wife usually follows?
We recommend that very much. Especially if the marriage is in jeopardy, because sometimes the patternings, if the spouse does not do the work also, there's been separation because one's staying in the old patterns and the other one's moving out of the old patterns. So it's like a vibrational frequency is changing, and if there's too much frequency change, and this is a way to explain it, then you become far enough apart that you're no longer attracted to each other, just very similar to what my girlfriend was. When I changed my frequencies or my repatterning, she was no longer attracted to me.
Huh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, like, there's a lot of people that are going through kind of an identity crisis right now. The world around us is going through a lot of change, and I think people are really looking at their lives a lot more seriously than they used to and questioning, you know, why they're working, what they're doing, you know, just everything in their life, their mate, their job. Do you find that when they go through the process of this vocal machine that it helps them get on target for, you know, it helps clear out a bunch of stuff so that they can make decisions better.
Oh, absolutely. We had one little gentleman that was really kind of fun. When he first came to me, his voice was so quiet that I was wondering if I could even get the microphone to work. And he'd worked for the city for like 30 years and just got normal promotions, you know, the normal raises. He didn't get any major promotions or anything like that. And it was real interesting to watch this as he started going through these changes and started clearing through the grandparents. The last person we finally work on is ourself. And when he got to self and cleared self, I had him come back a few weeks later, because I wanted to see if these patterns were holding, if they were lasting. You know, some people go through things. And he came back and we retested his voice prints, and yeah, and the floating patterns were still there. And this guy was very talkative. Matter of fact, Helen, my wife, she says, wow, he's different. But what was real interesting was within that short a time of 6 weeks, he got a promotion at work, not just a raise, but a major promotion, because he started to tell everybody what he knew needed to happen, and he started getting it, becoming very assertive and making it happen, and the bosses around him went, whoa, where did he come from? You know?
Isn't that amazing?
He'd been with the city for 30 years, and he knew what needed to change.
Oh, wonderful. So people can really, what I was just thinking, gosh, if they get into the vocal machine, they can fire their psychiatrist and their psychologist and really get quickly, from
right.
what I gather. I mean, how long does it take for somebody to go through a complete clearing?
Let's say
average,
we're working
on
mother.
Average.
If, you know, sometimes there are some unusual conditions, like the emotional trauma that, let's say that a person went through working on mother, and mother was extremely abusive, you know, verbally as well as physical, you know, pain and different things like that. It could take two or three sessions to clear one person, but on general, you can usually clear one person in one session, and a session usually lasts about 2 hours.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so you could spend many, many years with your psychologist and keep working on different things, or you can spend a very short length of time. Now, I'm not saying psychologist doesn't work. There are some very good psychologists out there. But the reality is this gives people a tool to actually see what's going on with their voice print. You can actually watch the changes, so we've got a very precise instrument here that can determine what's going on. And once we see the synapses is unlocked, we go to core meaning that's where the issue lies. And when we see the core and you build out of the core and go into a floating pattern, people feel different, they act different, they think different. We've had a person come here the other day that was, it's about 2 weeks ago, that was had committed suicide several times in her life, and just a few weeks prior had committed suicide.
Wow.
And we brought her in. Now, this is what we call a person that's unstable. We brought her in, she had her talk about her feelings, we put her in the vocal, and within 2 hours we found where the emotional trauma had happened as a little girl that was setting up these emotional feelings of helplessness, can't be, you know, life's not okay, I'm going to commit suicide. And she called, matter of fact, she just called today, and she says, gosh, she says, I'm feeling so good, she says, I'm alive, I feel alive. And gosh, you know, when you hear things like that, I mean, what better blessings than having something like that to
sure.
help people fly?
You know, you also, we're coming to a close here pretty soon, but I wanted you to, you made a fascinating comment about God being the geometry of dimensions.
Uh-huh.
Can you elaborate on that before we close tonight?
Well, the word God, never wavering, never varying, the word God stands for geometries of dimensions. It's not a person, you know, and some people go, oh boy, you know. But if I give a certain frequency within a certain dimension or a certain sound group, the cause and effect is always the same. Never changes, never varies. And that's what we talk about. And then we go back into religion, and then in the beginning were the words, you know. Well, the word or the frequency is what creates things to start to happen.
Exactly.
So I say I'm very cautious on how I use my words and my what I say and what I speak, because I understand the power of the word more than I ever have in the past.
You also made a mention to me that you could actually, you know, according to Hopkins, wasn't it the power versus force guy?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he said that most people, their frequency output is about a 200 or 300, and you felt like you were increasing people's frequencies on the vocal machine?
Yeah, we actually had a person that had quite a gift and could see and have one of these devices, and she noticed that when she was doing kinesiology, that she was noticing as people were clearing, that they seemed to, their frequency levels seemed to come up at a higher rate. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I've watched it. I've watched people come out, their eyes sparkling, smiles on their face, their faces are glowing. I've seen that happen so many times.
That's so wonderful. What a gift, Calvin.
Oh, well, it is. And it's exactly what it is. It is a gift to the world.
Well, listen, thank you.
I really believe in a few years that these things will be all over the world. And
well,
they
I
already
sure
are
hope
starting
so.
To.
I sure hope so. But listen, I want to thank you for your time and
no
for
problem.
Spending this time this evening. And we've been talking to Calvin Young and his vocal machine that gets rid of miasms and emotional traumas.
Yeah.
And thank you so much and good night.
Okay, good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.